بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. حضرت نبی صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم once passed by a قبر, passed by a قبرستان, perhaps it was جنة البقی, and he had made it known to the صحابہ کرام, the inmates of these two graves are under punishment. And he also made it known to them, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ, they're being punished for something that was not too difficult. Like how the Quran Sharif says, وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا الْخَاشِينَ. How you translate كَبِيرَةٌ? Difficult. Can you say it's not a big thing? Namaz is a big thing. So they are being punished for something that is not difficult. So the one person that is being punished, kana la yastanzihu anil bowl. First person that is being punished, he was not careful about urine. Now, taking care of urine is not a difficult thing. But someone is careless, just going to a urinal and hosing, obviously, there will be some droplets, some residue urine in the shaft. And with the movement, all that thing leaves the body. Now, you're just going to urinate like this and zip up straight. So there's going to be something that's going to be left off. It's going to fall into your clothing or your body. So that's one way of not taking care of the urine. The other way of not taking care of urine is you are just urinating, perhaps sitting or standing, but on a solid ground. And the right thing is to guide the urine into the pan, into the lower area, not to just urinate like that. Because you're going to urinate on a surface that's at your level, the chances are that urine splashes are going to come back onto you. So it's lower surface into the pan, then the chances for the urine drops to come onto your body is going to be less. So this person wasn't taking care of the urine. La yastanzihu anil bowl, whichever way. So that was the problem that was for the one person. And because of him not taking care of the urine, today he's in problems. Now, in another hadith, this is being reported again with some additional detail. Man dafantumul yawm, who have you people buried today? That means this was a fresh incident. When a person is going to a different land, then the first thing that he wants is he wants a good reception. Nice reception, they receive him well, there's no problems on the immigration, so that's what he wants. But imagine you coming into a foreign territory and immediately you're meeting up with hostility, they're punching you, they're busting you. How do you feel? So this person has moved on from here into a foreign territory and they were feeling busted up, kicked, bust, punched, right? مَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. And the second person that was under punishment, كَانَ يَمْشِي بِن نَمِيمَ. His problem was, اِدھر کی بات کو اُدھر لگاتا ہے, اُدھر کی بات کو اِدھر لگاتا ہے. He carries tales, gossip carrier, right? Now this gossiping is done verbally, is also done through the fingers nowadays, through the thumbs. Thumbs up is better, you know. But thumbs down, that's a difficult one. Thumbs up, you're wishing someone thumbs up, right? But thumbs down, so this is a bala, musibat, thumbs. Some of the old ladies complain that the younger people come to meet them. Obviously, they'll come with some elder. It's a young girl, so she'll come with her mother or her aunt, or a young boy will come with the aunt and come and meet the old. But he says, they will complain. They don't know what it is to meet, what is to show respect. They don't have it in them. So he asked some of the ladies, why do you say that? That they don't know what it is to meet, talk, respect. He says that the elders will be talking, and they in their own world. Even if you talk to them, they're oblivious of your presence. They don't even take cognizance of your presence. So now, this disrespect, and then the elder that is that this child is accompanying, he doesn't bring it to this children's attention. Isn't he also guilty? You're also guilty. You're going somewhere. But put this thing away. So the elder should bring it to the attention of his juniors. See, this is how you meet. But now it's fine with him. Then he shows the same type of respect before others. Now how does that person feel? Adab hi kehlane wala. You haven't learnt any adab, no etiquette, no respect. So can you have any good expectation from this person? His future will be good. Can this person then look after his wife? Can he show the respect to his in-laws, to his children? You don't have any hopes in the person. So, one is the gossip that is carried through the tongue, and one is through the thumbs. And then, in that also, you get another type of gossip. So, I already told you two types. And the third type is the gossip that you entertain. One is you make, and then one is that which you entertain. So you heard, for example, okay, this person here is involved in wrong. Hey, yeah, involved in wrong. I thought he was a big buzrug man. So now you entertain this. See, so if it's a wrong that is open, it's a different thing, right? But it's a wrong, no, not many people know about it, right? And now you are entertaining yourself, you are rejoicing at his calamity. He's gone into a problem and you're rejoicing at it. Because you had perhaps a personal thing with him. And now today he's fallen down. When he's fallen down, say, now I'll show him, and I'll fix him up. So that is shimatatul a'da. The hadith stops you. Don't do this thing. Because you're going to be rejoicing at your friend's misfortune. What will happen tomorrow? You'll fall into a misfortune and others will laugh at you. So at that person's misfortune, just be careful. You didn't like the person, how he was working. Now he became a little bit more known. So now you go and expose the person. You go and publicize the person. So maybe he's wrong what he's doing, but you just want to make a publicity for what? You want to settle your old scores with him. See, you had some old issues with him. Now you found a forum to settle your old scores. See. Is called shamatatul a'da. So it's a gossip. See, so unfortunately, this phone has caused such disaster. The amount of gunas that take place, I feel, the phone, I don't think happens in any other place. That person that is regarded to be pious, so there is no stain on his piety in the confines, in the respect of his home. He's doing all the stupid things. Every type of vice, he's doing it. But in the eye of the public, he still remains a buzrug, pious person. His piety has not been tainted in the least. He feels now he's not affected. So he doesn't have the feeling of guilt, like the article is reading about bidat. So you come to a point where you're immersed in wrong, but you don't count the wrong to be wrong. Because people don't know about it, therefore you don't count the wrong to be wrong. Can you imagine how you aggravate this wrong? How serious it becomes? So the wisdom is explaining, وَمَا يُعَذَّبَانِ فِي كَبِيرٍ. They are not being punished because of something that was difficult. They could have easily saved themselves. Urine, you could have saved yourself easily. Gossip, you could have saved yourself. You can see now, I'm tempted to say something, so you moved away. So sometimes it is a conversation that leads to a ghibat. Like ghibat or gossip, right? For example, you are talking about someone. So then I must chip in and must say, but you don't know about him, man. What do you know about him? Ask me about it, I'll tell you. So you had a forum now to run him down. So So the easy way is not even to discuss anybody. Don't discuss people. Just if it is a personality that is uncontroversial, not a controversial personality, very saintly figure, everybody holds him in respect, to discuss him, it's all right. You're discussing Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani rahmatullahi. The chances are nobody's going to make ghibat, right? So talk about him. But if you don't talk about a contemporary, then you'll say something about him, I'll say something else. So it's going to become another problem. It will cause more added complication, confusion to it. So don't talk about people, especially when they are contemporaries. So I want to talk in your presence about my ustad. So you want to talk about your ustad. And in order to express and impress upon the superiority of my ustad, I have to run down your ustad. See? I have to run him down so that I can impress upon my teacher. Does it happen or doesn't it? What your ustad knows? He's a master. What he knows? So I have to run him down in order to establish his maqam and his position. So don't talk about contemporaries. People around, don't talk about them. Talk about people that are past. When you're going to talk about people that have passed, then you may hardly come across a situation where anybody's going to run him down. Alhamdulillah. So, ma yu'adhdabani fi kabir. These two inmates of the grave are not being punished because of something that was difficult. Amma ahaduhuma fakana la yastanzihu al-bawl. Amma al-akhar fakana yamshi bin namima. Now, thereafter, Nabi Sam took hold of a twig. He broke it into two, a green, fresh twig, placed one on one grave and placed the other on the other grave. And he explained that the punishment will be raised from them, ma'alam yaybisa. As long as these things don't dry out, the punishment will be lightened. Yukhaffafu anhuma ma'alam yaybisa. Now, this is an exclusive to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said this, as long as this thing remains green and fresh, then the punishment will be lightened. Right? So this is exclusive because Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is receiving wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all the time. Right? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is informed that this is what's going to happen. Right? Number two, when it's exclusive to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then you can't imitate Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, you can't from Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in something that is exclusive to him. It's wrong of you to do it. Right? Nabi Sam had pointed his finger towards the moon and he split into two. Is it right for you to do such a thing? It was exclusive to him. It's a miracle, it's a mu'jiza, something specific to him. You can't do that. It was his maqam, he did it, so it's for him to do it. Now you want to imitate as though you're saying that I am a Nabi, like Nabi Sam had powers, I have power as well. That's wrong of you to do it. So you remain in your place, when Nabi Sam will be in his place. Malik, Suraqa ibn Malik ibn Jusham radiyallahu anhu, he's tracking down Nabi Sam at the time of Hijrat. Hijrat, and Suraqa ibn Malik ibn Jusham is tracking down because there is a reward. Whoever gets Nabi Sam is going to get 100 camels. So in order to become eligible to this reward, he's trying to track down Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Abu Bakr radiyallahu anhu saw this, he got a little bit worried, not for himself, but for the safety of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, no worry, don't worry. And as he came closer, the earth just began to sink him down. He's just swallowed by the earth. So he said, make dua for me. No, I'll never do this again. I'll never do this, just make dua for me. So now, this type of miracles are exclusive to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You can't say now, hey, right, earth, sink him down, eat him up. You can't. Can you say that? You can't do that. That was something exclusive to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. For you to say, I can do it, is to claim to be equal to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. You're not an equal to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. That was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He had the status, he had the maqam. He was assisted and supported by Allah Ta'ala all the time. So you are not there. Whilst he's seated with the Sahaba-i-Kiram, and you hear the pebbles reciting tasbih, again exclusive. Nabi Sam left the Ustwana Hannana and sat on the mimbar, the trunk of the tree against which he would recline and deliver the khutbah. He left that and sat on the mimbar. And that thing, like, he started crying like how a child will cry. You know how bitterly a child will cry. So Nabi Sam had to leave the mimbar, come back to the trunk and soothe the child, appease the child, just comfort the child until it began to sob like how a child would sob. In the presence of all the Sahabi Kiram, this happened. So now all these are exclusive with Nabi Sallam. We don't claim that we are equal to him. All right. Now the question is this, that then what do we do at the Qabr? Eid day, what do we do? At the entrance of every Qabristan, the florists are there, they're making a killing. Hey, uncle, 50 rand, 100 rand. Do something for your father, man. What's wrong with you? No respect for your mother you got. The way they'll play that emotional card. For your own mother, you can't even buy one bunch of flour. What's wrong with you? The man feels emotional. No, for mother's sake, I'll do this. But Islam is not based on emotions. It's based on Sharia, based on the Quran, Hadith, for sound intellect and understanding. Not on not just on emotions. So now what do we do? We'll do what our pious did, our elders did. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahimahullah, right? He wanted to make an offering, like how we say, Isal al-Sawab. He wanted to make an Isal al-Sawab, pass the reward on to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullahi came from a background with a lot of wealth, lots of wealth. It was all nobles, monarchs, kings used to come and visit him. And all that he would give away in charity, he would remain in a life of austerity. He would accept the gifts just to honor the person that brought the gift, but he won't enjoy the gift. He'll give it away in charity, he'll eat his own simple food. So now, the riches are coming here. Pearls, diamonds, gold, all these type of things are coming. So he wants to make an offering for Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. The reward for this must go to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And as he's prepared himself and he wants to pass it on to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, then when he sees his brother, Makhdumul Awliya, Hazrat Alauddin Sabiri Chishti Rahmatullah Alayh, he sees that he's presenting something to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And Makhdumul Awliya, Hazrat Alauddin Sabiri Chishti Rahmatullah Alayh, he preferred to live a life of austerity. He won't accept gifts. So he won't have anything. So the color of this awliya is different. The color of this wali is different. He's got a different flavor. All are our awliya. Now, he notices that his brother, Hazrat Alauddin Rahmatullah Alayh, is about to make a gift. And that gift perhaps is some dry chana. That's what he's giving. So when he saw that his brother is giving, out of respect for his brother, he held on and said, no, my brother Alauddin is making a gift to Nabi Sallam, and Nabi Sallam is taking it with love and respect. Nabi Sallam is taking it with a lot of love and respect. So now this is what we will do for those that have left the world, that will pass on something, right? Number two, the second point that we take here, it's not the amount of wealth that you're going to send that will be appreciated by the deceased or by Nabi Sallam. It's the heart. Walaki yanalhu taqwa minkum. What is the condition of your heart? With what heart are you giving this? It's just dry chana. And dry chana, roasted chana, is about the cheapest food that you can find in India. The beggar, the person that's on the streets, that's his food, right? It's the cheapest food that you can find. I don't think you can find something that is cheaper than chana. So that's the cheapest thing. So the man been living on this. When he been living on it, this is what he had. So what he had, to the best of his ability, with all respect, he passed it on. And here, Nizamuddin Awliya is seeing that this is in the presence of Nabi Sallam. It's already reached there. What else you want? When Isa alayhi salam kya? Wahan to pahunch hi gaya. It's already reached Nabi Sallam. So it's not... The the wealth that you are sending, not no, the heart. What type of dil? Consider dil, sir. What type of heart you are passing that on? So when we want to make an offering, what do we do? That this offering, I'm giving it in the name of Allah Ta'ala. The reward for this must go to Hazrat Nabi Sallam, must go to this person or that person. So how do we do it? They have illustrated to us that we give it in the name of Allah Ta'ala to some poor person, and thereafter make the dua, Allah Ta'ala, the sawab for this must reach so and so person that I am intending. But we do it all the sincerity, do it with that wealth that is absolutely halal, do it with that wealth that is uncontaminated, and see the blessings that you will receive thereafter. Yesterday we were talking about person passing on something. Right? And the inmates of the grave are coming in to receive all their shares, right? So these are all facts, these are all true things that you pass on and they receive. You pass on something and they receive. The problem is in this day and time, we only believe in things that we can see, that meet the eye. What doesn't meet the eye, then we don't have that level of conviction in things that don't meet the eye. Whereas our eyes and our heart should be more in the things that are of the unseen than the things that are visible. Because everything that is visible, right, is perishable. Anything that is visible, anything that meets the eye, anything that is material, it's perishable. And the thing that is perishable, right, for a fleeting moment, it seems attractive, it seems great, right? Anything that is perishable, anything material, for a short moment, it seems very great, it seems to be very pleasant, very, very attractive. Doesn't it look attractive? Right? Good food, like how it looks, pastries and cakes and savories and some chops and steak and all, how it looks. Some Arab food on this side, Arab kebab, and then falafel, what's it called? What do they say? Falafel. Bhajia got about five names. One in Arabic they call falafel, we call bhajia. In Dioban they call it pakora, yeah. So I don't know, three, four names. Still have to understand what the Zulus, what they say. So many names they've got for bhajia, right? Falafel, pakora, bhajia. Kari sahab, aur kuch naam hai? It looks like an international food, this is. So, things of a material nature, anything is perishable. Right? And for the first moment, the first encounter, so great, so nice it looks, right? So nice it looks. But when you look at the end of this, you don't want to see it. You add that thing, right? Hey, so much of time you took to get that fresh cream, to get that fish, and that ice cream, and the chocolate, and do all this, all the decorations, and the cake, and whatever. So much time the ladies took, and you took. And what magaj mari, what headache and heartache, and so much, and you prepared that thing, right? And you enjoyed it, right? By the morning, you won't look at it. Just by the morning. So the attraction and the beauty is very, very short, very short, very short, very limited. The morning will show you the true colors. So the world, what lesson is conveying to you by it? Don't fall for me, please. Like shaitan has the collar of curse, then the earth also has got a collar of curse, right? Like shaitan is collared with curse, then the earth is also collared with curse. Ad-dunya mal'una. When it's collared with curse, but don't hanker, don't run, don't chase. Contented life, what's in your taqdeer, you'll get, you'll enjoy. Why you must chase? No, man. See, he can drive in this car, I can't drive in that car. He can live like this, I can't go. I can't live. He can go for this holiday, I can't do it. He can go for Umrah, I can't do it. Again, just think about this, Nizamuddin and Alauddin, Rahimahumallah, right? Worlds apart, nothing to eat. Hazrat Alauddin Chishti rahmatullah alayhi is living in such constraints. One person told Hazrat Fariduddin Ganjashekar rahmatullah alayhi, I want to see your khulafa, how they fit, I want to see them. So he said, all right, one of my khalifas, my representative is in Delhi, Nizamuddin, Awliya, and the other is in Kalyar, Alauddin, Sabiri, rahmatullahi alayhi. So I want to meet up with him. He said, all right. He goes to meet up with Nizamuddin, rahmatullahi alayhi. Nizamuddin sahab hears, ke mere sheikh ke aadmi aa rahe. My sheikh's man is coming. He laid it out, istiqbal, gifts, food, clothing, whatever he could. However he could show the respect, he showed the respect. That was in the people of the past. They showed a lot of respect to the sheikh and to the man of the sheikh also. His child or the man, sheikh sent this person, he showed a lot of respect. Therefore, in a very short while, they would cover distance, very short, because of their respect. The respect brimming from the heart. So in a short while, they would just move. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu is performing namaz with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? And so when Nabi sallallahu turns him onto the left, the muqtadi will be the left, so he moves slightly backwards. When he moves slightly backwards, so Nabi sallallahu asked him, why did you move a little backwards? He says, a Nabi and a non-Nabi can't be the same. Nabi sallallahu liked the answer. Make dua for him. See that respect. Okay. Allah Pak bless you with ilm. Bless you with understanding. But on account of what? Respect. I was talking about the phone, the abuse and the disrespect. But then, what's the reason for your children getting deprived? That you didn't have respect, you didn't teach them respect. Or you had the respect, you didn't pass on the respect. As a result, now the child is deprived. He doesn't have respect. So the blessings of knowledge he will not enjoy. Maybe he gets the words of knowledge, but the blessings of knowledge he will be deprived of. Muhammad bin Nasr is a great muhaddis. Some of his kitab are there in the Kutub Khana. Juz'u Rafil Yadain, all that is got there. Or Juz'u Qiyamul Layl. So he is going to meet the king of the time, perhaps his name was Muhammad bin Ishaq or something. He went to meet up with him. So this king, when he heard that Muhammad bin Nasr is coming in, so he went out of his way, show respect and all that. The king's brother said, but wait, he's just an ordinary Moli. Moli ki kya qadr hai? Moli comes, so what? They come, then they go, so what? What's the big deal about it? He didn't pay attention to what his brother had to say. He showed all the respect. This Muhammad bin Nasr made dua for him. As a result, the kingdom continued in his family for about 10 generations. See that? See this respect. We consider count it to be a small thing. Now the whole concern is academic. In that 1 year, 2 years, the Shaykh must finish his hifz, you know. Must read Taraweeh, and must be a big grand jalsa, they read Taraweeh, and people will talk about him. So, but they're not looking at it from this dimension, that how this child will be accepted by Allah Ta'ala. He's got respect, muhabbat, and he's got the true love brimming from his heart. He's got the respect. So now that will be a different child. But if it is a showpiece child, you'll get a showpiece, and then that's the end of the story. Showpiece child, people say that, وَقَدْ قِيل. So you see, before it was respect, muhabbat, understanding. So this took that individual far, far and wide. It took him. For that moment, nobody knew about it. I know of people that did the hifz, and nobody knows about it. Did the hifz until something happened. Eventually, it's a woman. I know the family all that. That woman is also late now. But she did the hifz. Nobody knows about it. Father even doesn't know about it. Eventually, the mother discovered that this child of mine is a hafiz, right? Somehow, women, they quite sharp, so they make it out. But nobody knows about it. So now today is a showpiece, a lot of showpiece. And because the emphasis is on the show, therefore you don't find that level of barkat. I don't say you don't have a jalsa, right? But more than the jalsa is teach the person some adab, some respect, some muhabbat. Teach them these important values. Be a different person, will be a different thing. So what are you talking of? Nizamuddin Awliya Sahib Rahmatullah Ali. Hazrat Alauddin Chishti Rahmatullah Ali. See the respect, muhabbat, understanding. You must understand who is father, who is mother, who is uncle, who is relatives. You know, I remember in my childhood, it was a common thing. In nearly every family, it was the same thing. Come a weekend, you go and meet this haga, that relative, that uncle, this one is in hospital, this person is underprivileged, go and give him something quietly, nobody knows about it. This person here, he's in a constraint, sort out his rent. This person. So this is how the weekend used to go, going as a family. And if any child says, no, I can't go on to play soccer, this guy will grab me by the hand, come, you must come in. So to show the respect to your relative, uncle, sick, destitute, underprivileged, how else are you going to do sila? Whole week you are busy. Saturday, Sunday, you got some time. So you go and meet this one here. Make it a point. All right, children want to go for some picnic. Give them that privilege. But in the process, meet 2-3 people, some sick person, some relative. You can see that they're in constraint. You enjoy yourself with all of roast and chicken and everything. And your own connection, own relative, own neighbor, his suffering. Will that thing go down nicely? I ask you, will that thing go down nicely? You're enjoying so much. Yeah, this man is suffering and you're enjoying. I ask you, Will it go down nice? So if you're enjoying, let the neighbor enjoy, let your relative enjoy, the people around you, let them enjoy also. If you can't give everything, something at least, something. So they also feel happy. This man is enjoying, but he's also sharing things with us. What a beautiful scene it is. That you're enjoying, but those that are around, like a Bakrid scene. Don't you see in a Bakrid, everybody's coming. Hindu is coming. Christian is coming, black is coming, white is coming, some meat. So then we have to tell them, alright, the beef is coming tomorrow, because they have to do the slicing, and then they will send it a day or 2 days later. Today just take this, but you come 2 days later, inshallah you get your beef parcel. So, but what a beautiful sight, where we eat, we're enjoying, and let others enjoy as well. We enjoy, and let others enjoy. No, they must work for their money, I work for money. But by that attitude, don't have that attitude. I work for my money and I must enjoy it. He was also, he learned to work and he'll enjoy. That's not our Islamic attitude. Allah gave someone, فَضَّلَ بَعْضَكُمْ عَلَىٰ بَعْضٍ فِرِّ. Someone he gave more, someone he gave less. Why he did, Allah knows. By our duty is to show compassion, love, generosity. Not to ask, not to question the person, why aren't you working? Why aren't you doing this? Why aren't you doing this? That's not our work. Where the hadith says that when a sunnah is revived, since a dead sunnah is revived, you're getting the reward of 100 shaheed. Shaheed, the moment he dies, and there is jannah, right? One person, he comes and asks Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if I have shaheed, then what? You're going to jannah, then straight. فَأَلْقَى تَمَرَاتٍ كَانَتْ فِي يَدِهِ. He had some khajur, he's in jihad now. Some khajur in his hand, to say, then my jannah is going to be delayed just now. My jannah, I'm going to eat this khajur here, one, second one, third one, and then this one is waiting for me, that hoor is waiting for me, that one is waiting for me. It's going to be a long, long passage. Just through it, let me get into the depth of it. He says, Allah, I'm getting the fragrance of jannah already from Uhud. See that? So the yaqeen in the words of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said it must be. Ramadan, and there's a breeze that goes in the beginning of Ramadan, right? In Jannah. Jahannam doors are all sealed up, blocked off. Breeze is going. The branches, the leaves and all, they have a whistling sound, right? Sound that is so, so beautiful that no creation had heard. So beautiful. It's so beautiful. The hoors also from the balconies, they are there. Hey, who's there for me? Imagine now that with so much of beauty, not touched. so beautiful, so beautiful. They are smiling away. Who's anybody to pay that ransom, pay that mehr for me? It's irresistible. And you're resisting Jannat. Where's your brains? Are you resisting Jannat? When you come across the hadith, then imagine it there, waiting. One is waiting here, one is waiting there. What I must do just to get them, just to secure that. How must I get it? Have that yaqeen. Rabbi Sam said, have that yaqeen. A stupid person will make an announcement that you win this competition, you'll get a Rolls Royce. You'll get, you fall for that. Kill yourself for that. You don't know, you're going to win the competition, whether you'll get to use it, whether you will die in the process, what will happen, you don't know. But when Rabbi Sam is saying it, why don't you have that hope? Man kana yarju liqa Allah, hope, long for that. Allah is wanting us to long. Yarju liqa Allah, long for that. So this person, Hazrat Fariduddin Rahmatullah, is person, he goes to meet Hazrat Nizamuddin. And I say he's sitting literally on wealth, gold, silver, so much. So he opened it out for him, all the generosity, all everything given him. Right, that is over. Now he has to go to Hazrat Alauddin Sabiri Chishti Rahimahullah, Makhdumul Awliya, right? He has to go there. One friend of mine is also an alim, great alim. So he says, now see, the Buzurgana Deen that are around Delhi, right, and surrounding, the whole Mizaj is different. And then you go further down, right, towards Kalia and all that, you'll find Buzurgan great, but the Mizaj will be different. Here they'll lay out the Dastarkhan, everything for you. Mr. Khan, on the Dastarkhan, enjoying it, right? And here it'll be a little bit dry. Here it'll be really, really laid, and here it'll be a little bit dry. So it's a reflection of the awliya that they connected to, see. So now here, this person has left Hazrat Nizamuddin Awliya Rahmatullah Ali, and he's moved on to Hazrat Alauddin Sabri Rahmatullah Ali. And Alauddin Sabiri Rahmatullah, around this time, he is in a deep frame of meditation. He is oblivious of what's going around. Now, nowadays, to understand the word oblivious, I think it's easy. Before I used to try to wonder out what is the meaning of oblivious now? You know what's going on. But now you see these children, youngsters, elders also, they're so glued onto that phone, they don't know what's going around. You talk to them, they don't know what's going on. They're in a different world. I don't know if you've seen that. But I'm just, dekha apne. You all have seen all this thing, all this drama. They don't know what's going on. So he's so stuck in a meditation, he doesn't know what's going on. So Sabir, Hazrat Sabir Rahmatullah is one khadim. This is Hazrat Sabir Rahmatullah. So he just came for a moment, he came up. Achha, mere sheikh ke aadmi aaye hain. Aaj gulan mein zara namak dal dena. Mere sheikh achhe hain. And straight again. He just asked, my sheikh, is he right? And today, that gular, that wild fig, just add a little bit of salt. And again, he slipped into that meditation again. Now he says, hey, things are dry, man. There is so nice, laid it out, kebab and kofta and savouries and cakes and what are the pista, badam, ice cream, everything he had it here. He had it all covered. Here it's all dry. Well, gulal koi khane ki cheez hai. Just a little bit of salt. Is it something to eat? So he goes and gives the full report to Hazrat Fariduddin Rahmatullah Ali. Okay, I went here. This was the madman. And this one, yeah, this whole totally dry. Hazrat Fariduddin, when he heard this about his Khalifa, Alauddin, he cried. He says, Mere Alauddin is maqam ke upar pahunche hai, uske dil mein siwaye haq ke kisi ki guzar mumkin nahi. He is so immersed in the love of Allah Ta'ala, remembrance of Allah Ta'ala, that's impossible for anything to cross his mind. But in this state also, in the deep absorption of Allah Ta'ala, he thought of me, what an ihsan. In this deep state of absorption, he thought of me, what an ihsan. So, you see this awliya kiram, and the response is right, different. The ways are different. Someone is on one way, someone is on another way. It is not for us ke unki upar ehtiraz kare ya unki aib joy kare. It's not for us to object or to find faults. In the words of Mawlana Ilyas Rahmatullahi, you're going to object or find faults, you will be deprived. Mu'tariz, yahan se bhi mahroom, wahan se bhi mahroom. You want to deprive yourself, then object and find faults, and you will be deprived here, you'll lose out this side. Now, what is more agreeable to you? You find that method is better, by take it on, hold on to that, and close your eyes from this one here. You find this is better, you hold on to this, and close your eyes from that. Carry on your life. Why must you be there? Why must you be a referee now? Who is the better person? Who is the greater person? Why must you fall? It's not your business that. Many a times, sometimes I think this year also, this thing is a common thing where there's a fight between the parents. So there are so many cases, and then the student will come and complain that my parents are fighting, and I can see either my mother is at fault or my father is at fault. So they come and complain, now this with these phones and all that, so a lot of confusion, a lot of commotion. The trust is lost in the spouses, the husband loses the trust for the wife, or the wife loses the trust in the husband. It's going on, right? So then it's fights. Now, when the fight goes on, now the child doesn't know what to do, to be on whose side. Because in the maktab and the madrasa, they even taught, respect your parents. Now the parents themselves are fighting, now what must he do? He is confused now, don't know what to do. So, my standard advice to this type of children is, but you don't become a referee in your parents' fights. That's not for you to be a referee in their fights. But then when the fight is carrying, what must we do? You stay away. You don't chip in. You don't get yourself involved. You'll complicate matters. Because if you take in your father's side, the mother will feel that you are on his side and he doesn't love me. Right? You take in your mother's side, the father will feel the same, that he's taken his mother's side, doesn't love me. So you just move away from it, right? That's the first step. Second, if you've seen some cruelty and you can stop it in a nice, respectable, polite way, if you see some cruelty and you know how to stop it, then stop that thing. But please, you must know about it. If you don't know how to do it, then don't get yourself involved. Last year, I'm showing you what happens with all these phones. Last year, so one person wrote up in the mail, he wrote up that the father writes up that I took a second wife. With the blessings of my first wife, I took a second wife. Now this again is a problem when we hear of someone getting married, now we're ridiculed. Hey, to pelano hamruf, party sadiki e novil yawe. We'll have to say, somehow we'll have to bring it. We have to ridicule that person. Why? What do you get out of it? Don't talk about it. Don't ridicule the person. Allah Pak doesn't like this, ridiculing. La yaskhar qawmum min qawmin asa an yakunu khayra minhum. We'll have to ridicule, somehow make it a topic. Not your work. You do your work, he's doing his work. Why must you fall into their problems? Right. So with the blessings of his first wife, he remarried. Now, the first month, things went well. But the second month, the first wife couldn't handle it any longer. When she couldn't handle it any longer, now she began to argue with her husband. From the arguing, it went on to a fight. When it went on to a fight, so the second wife heard that now they're having it, my husband is catching it, you see. Because now, the husband is like a bichara, he's just taking the hiding, he's taking the punches. I read the mail, I'm thinking, how is one overdose you punching?
चाय भी गिरती, उसको एक हाथ से पकड़ के बिठा देना चाहिए. Second wife heard, the first wife is catching it, so she came to save the husband. When she came to save the husband, so this one year, this first wife left the husband and started fighting with the second one. This year, gussa to ye hai. Gale mein jo kanta hai, ye kanta hai. This is the thorn. This is a spanner. She is giving it to him. Giving it to her. Right? And she started giving it to her, the husband chipped in now. See, the whole belly work, he's trying to block now. When the husband tried to stop, so she shouted. When she shouted, the child, the son was 19 years old, he came. And he floored his father, literally, this is the father now, the father is saying. He floored the father down, and he throttled him. He throttled him so bad, that he missed his trousers. Now, this man is telling me all this is happening in the month of Ramadan. The month of Ramadan, this happened. But well, Judith, you think of second wife, just think about all these stories. Mona says, no, I got no sons. But you got son-in-laws, man. So anyway, when he throttled him, he missed himself. Ramzan time. He had to go and have a bath and all that. Now in the whole Taraweeh, he was in such a frame of mind, that in the whole Taraweeh he cursed his son. Now I'm coming to the tail end. This whole thing, the whole Taraweeh, he was cursing. Well to do, very well to do. The whole Taraweeh cursed his son. Just after Ramadan, now his son, 19, 20 years of age, his father is about 45, mother is about 42, right? So he fell in love with one of his teachers, this boy that's 42, mother's age. And they got married. Father, hey man, what a disgrace. He got married to his teacher. And look at the age, 19 year and 42, that side, more than double the age. Now what do I do? What must I do? Now he's asking, the Christian is asking, what must I do? Because this is the consequence of my curse for my child. So, by Al-Mu'ad Ta'imullah says, by you need to do anything ta'ammul or tahammul. By don't jump. Just do things. You'll have a whole commotion. Whole house is full of commotion. It may seem to be, the glitter of the house. The new wife may seem to be the glitter. But you don't realize that it may not be the glitter, it may be the litter of the house. It seems like the glitter. But reality, it may be that you see, with that you have to understand tolerance. Right? Something is sunnah, right? The Muslim did it, right? But do you have the tolerance, the endurance for it? Right? For example, the Muslim's bed normally would be on the floor, right? He had a bed as well, on the floor. Many a times, for a month, 2 months, 3 months, it was just dates and water. But I asked you, can you last for more than 2 days? Forget 2 days, 1 day. We don't dispute that it was a sunnah of Nabi Sam, but will you last? Do you have the endurance? So understand, that this comes, it's a package. When it's a package, do you have the endurance? When you don't have the endurance, then don't do something that you can't endure. They say, no, but the hadith says it's permissible and I can do it. Why are you stopping me? And you have the endurance, you won't complain. You don't have the endurance, then you'll get into it, you'll have problems, then you start complaining. What must I do? I don't discourage anybody. Once you get married, say, good, okay. But understand what it is all about. All about what it is about, I understand. One man came here, so he came with his wife. He's about 69, wife is about 63. and he got married to someone about 30 years old of age. So he's 69, someone he got married to 30 years of age. So now, he's ultra wealthy, not wealthy, ultra wealthy. You know, when I say ultra wealthy, real wealthy, real wealthy. So now, like his monthly is earning about 10 million every month. So you can imagine what he's going to. He got married second time. So now, someone will say, maybe we started from Alauddin Chishti Ramte, and where we're going to. It's a need. Sometimes it's a need to talk about these things, therefore I talk about it. So you understand what's going on. And don't live in a dream world. Do what's within your capacity means. Don't get into fights, disputes, quarrels. And I showed you where this thing starts over the phone. You get into contact with this one, that one, that one leads you to this one. And then you have to face the drama. So now he's 69, he's got a girl 30 years of age. Now, when it comes to this, it comes to the crunch, it's difficult. You know, you feel very embarrassed. You feel embarrassed, I'm now just the middleman, but now when they're talking, I'm feeling embarrassed. Because the woman is complaining that he's not giving me my conjugal rights. She's complaining in my presence and the presence of her two sons. So, what's left in this world, in this woman here, for her to say this thing here, that the man is, and I can understand now, the man is making an excuse, though I have to take medication, so I can't do all this thing. But I can understand that he's exhausted now with the first one, no strength for this side. I understood the whole story. He can't say I don't have the strength, he just says it's a result of the medication. So anyway, it carried on. Then they came for the second sitting. I told the man, bye, do what you can manage easily, no fights. Now, the woman is saying, no conjugal rights. Number two, he goes and enjoys himself with this one here, and food, it comes to me. That he can't prepare all the type of food, so she comes to me for the food. So if you're living with her, then enjoy yourself with her, then why are you coming for food for me? My day, you come and give me my right and enjoy my food. But her day, then you go and enjoy that side. She's complaining. Anyway, the thing went out of proportion. It went out of proportion. So where it hit the fan, you know, when everything went out of proportion. So he says to me that he phoned up to his grandchild. She must have been about 12, 15 years of age. He phoned up. And the grandchildren now, when he's phoning them, whereas he had a very strong bond with the grandchildren. Now when he's phoning up to them, so they are absolutely cold. Who's calling? Yes, what's your job? What do you want? So that it struck me. I couldn't hold it. He had to just call it off and come back to his family. No family life, no Eid, no Bakra Eid, no Ramadan. 1 year was too much for him. He had to leave this, pack it up, parcel, and send it away. Come back to this old. So this phone is causing a lot of confusion. People don't realize it. The child is completing his, my darling, take this phone. Top of the range, smartphone, take it. And what destruction is causing to the child, you don't know. And that destruction only will show after 3 years, 5 years. When that child, his life is messed up, then you see it. And then you regret why you gave him this stuff. See? But now you can't reverse the thing. You gave it to him, now finish. Now you can't reverse it. So, for all these problems here, his prescription is very good. Ta'ammul. You're going into something, ta'ammul. Think. Short term, long term consequence, what's going to happen? Can I manage? Can't I manage it? Is it the better thing? Is it not the better thing? Ask someone. And thereafter, you understand if it's not the better thing, then ta'ammul. Then endure, tolerate. Because ma kullu shay'in yashtahihi al-mar'u yudrikuhu wa tajri riyahu bima la tashtahi as-sufunu. Everything that you desire, you can't get in this world. You're wealthy or not wealthy, but everything that you desirous of, you can't get in this world. Everything that you desirous of, you'll get in the next realm. Here, make sabr, make shukr, and carry on. Allah baktawfiq nasib kare.